Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, what is going on with redistricting? The remaking of the maps in battleground states, all states across the country, that's going to have a decades-long impact on our country and maybe even generational impact. We have Tyler Boyer from Turning Point Action to help us unpack that and so much more. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point Action, the 501c4 social welfare organization, it's tpaction.com. Tyler mentions it throughout this conversation. And if you want to email us, you could do so directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. So a couple stories I want to get into, the first of which is just such a shocking story. And I'm afraid that our country is becoming almost inexplicably cruel. Parts of America are becoming so cruel, it's hard to even describe. Breaking from the postmillennial.com, Ronald McDonald House to evict families with young children who are unvaccinated. Quote, "They are evicting my son with leukemia and other children or adults who are suffering with sick children into the snow." The Ronald McDonald House in Vancouver, British Columbia, allegedly serving an eviction notice on unvaccinated children with serious illnesses, including cancer, and their parents. Austin Ferguson from British Columbia, the father of the four-year-old boy with leukemia who has been undergoing treatment since October, said that they are going to lose their home if they do not, in 5 days, if they do not get vaccinated. Now, this is the Ronald McDonald House Charities, which I think is like the official charity of McDonald's Corporation. Is that right? Yeah. He wrote, quote, "All tenants, adults and children over the age of five who are not vaccinated are out by the end of January." So basically, if you have a four-year-old that has leukemia, the stated position of the official charity of McDonald's Corporation is that if you don't take a vaccine, despite your life-threatening, you're already dealing with something that could potentially kill you, we're going to kick you out of our home. Imagine being a $21 billion megacorporation and evicting a four-year-old with leukemia. It does go to that theme that we've been hitting of the strong crushing the weak, isn't it? Does someone get some sort of strange, sadistic pleasure forcing a four-year-old with leukemia to go take a vaccine? And if they don't, you're going to go kick them out on the streets? This is not about public health. I don't want any. There is no argument for public health at all whatsoever to make for this. There isn't. This is about, there's only two explanations. It's about people who just love to dominate others and they find joy and meaning in the exploitation of innocence. Or it is people that are so incredibly hypnotized by mass formation psychosis. You hear that, Media Matters? That's right, we said it. Mass formation psychosis, as Dr. Robert Malone said on Joe Rogan's podcast, that there are people right now in the Canadian government that are twiddling their thumbs saying, you know who the problem is? You know the problem? Somebody said in a board meeting, the problem is the four-year-olds with leukemia that aren't vaccinated. That's the problem. And this is one of the reasons why you're seeing the Liz Cheney types or the Mitt Romney types all of a sudden get into this convenient, and it could be temporary, but I don't think so, marriage of political interests with the left. Because the very same impulses that drove us to go invade countries that are on the other side of the world, this kind of imperialist mindset, that we have to go invade Iraq or we have to go try to fix women customs in Pakistan because it's somehow an affront to Western values. That's the same belief. That's the same mindset that drives you to get a to kick a four-year-old out of the Ronald McDonald House. It's very simple. It's that if they don't live the way we want them to live, we're going to make them pay for that. The post-millennial continues by saying this quote from Ronald McDonald Charities, quote, "We continue to restrict access to the house and are practicing COVID-19 safety protocols, including screening, temperature checks, physical distancing, enhanced cleaning protocols, mandatory mask wearing, and all guests and visitors to the house must show proof of vaccination against COVID-19. To give an idea of how wild this has, how this has gone, I was in Thousand Oaks yesterday, California. I was speaking at Godspeak Church, wonderful people there, packed house. It was incredible. And just to go pick up gluten-free donuts, I was not able to pick it up because they asked me for proof of vaccination to go pick up food. Not to dine in, to pick up food. I was not able to pick up the food. I want you to think about that. And I know a lot of people are fighting against this and they're saying we're not going to take it anymore. But if you think that it's going to stop automatically, what civilization are we living in when our neighbors to the north are kicking four-year-old children with leukemia out? Four-year-olds, by the way, who are already fighting their own health battles. We're going to make the people suffering suffer more. What does it say for the Anglosphere? What does it say for the English-speaking people? Churchill had a beautiful book called The History of the English-Speaking People. He made several predictions, and he was what's the right way without saying this offensively? He was pretty firm with Australia. He saw the problems with Australia. That's all I'll say. You could read his book. Novak Djokovic, Serbian. Awesome guy. Grew up with a bunch of Serbs. They're wonderful people. It was actually on a Serbian basketball team once. That's a fun. It's called the Illinois White Eagles. You would not be able to call a basketball team the Illinois White Eagles today. Nope, not going to happen. Couldn't happen. It was a lot of fun. Top-ranked men's tennis player. Just so you know, Novak Djokovic in the Serbian community is like the Pope. He's the top. And Novak Djokovic goes to Australia and gets detained due to his vaccination status, as if Djokovic was going to be a super spreader throughout the mainland of Australia. Here's the good news. In America, we have these little pockets of this nonsense. Most states in America are not playing along with this at all. And that is thank you to Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, and James Madison for the federal project that they put into our documents. The fact we have a state-based system and the states created the federal government did not create the states, is one of the reasons why we are as free in many of these states as we are. I know that Rhode Island and New York and Vermont and California, Illinois, are unrecognizable dystopian experiments. Last year, Make-A-Wish Foundation refused to grant a wish to Rocco DiMaggio, 4-year-old with stage 4 high-risk neuroblastoma, to go to Disney World because he was not vaccinated, even though 4-year-olds were not eligible to be. Make-A-Wish Foundation, Ronald McDonald, we're going to make you suffer because we're in charge. Sick. Did you know that if you shop at Nike, they turn around and give your hard-earned dollars to pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood and the Population Council? Did you know that Airbnb gave $500,000 to the Marxist Black Lives Matter organization? Your first vote is at the ballot box, but that isn't enough to defend our traditional Judeo-Christian values. Left-wing corporations are subverting our democracy by taking money from conservative customers and giving it to radical organizations that support abortion, gun control, and critical race theory. You have another vote, a second vote, at the checkout line. And that is where massively important organizations called Second Vote come in. The courageous people at Second Vote are exposing corporations for how they spend your money. Check out secondvote.com today. Second Vote is developing incredible tools and engaging the smartest minds in the country to help inform Americans' purchasing decisions. What if I told you Chick-fil-A is not all that you might think it is? Well, their work is arduous, complex, and exhaustive. It doesn't happen for free. Please support their work so we can defend our future from the woke Marxist mob. So here's what I want you to do. Go right now to secondvote.com and subscribe. It's just $50 a year. But if you use promo code CHARLIE, you get 50% off. It's literally $2 a month, everybody. And you get 50% off the information you need to have before you make your next purchase. Do not buy products from people that hate you. Don't buy products from people that are funding the downfall of America. Join me. Go to secondvote.com and subscribe with promo code CHARLIE today. Let's go do a cut here, though. I could tease this a little bit tomorrow. I really wanted to do a full inflation show and talk about the impact of it. And so I'll probably wait for that for tomorrow. I have a bunch of research and some really interesting scholarship that I've done on that. And I have a new way of kind of looking at Bitcoin and crypto assets. They're more crypto assets than cryptocurrency. I think that's going to be a really interesting take. So I'll kind of just pause on the inflation side, but make sure you guys subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. You take out your podcast app, because if you have any questions about inflation, whether you think it's going to stop or whether you think it's going to increase, I'm not a doomsday guy by any means whatsoever, but I do think that we're in for a massive market correction in the next 60 to 90 days. I think you're going to see fiscal and monetary levers start to get pulled. Rates have to get raised sometime soon. And so we're going to do a whole show on that. Okay, let's play this one, though. Cut 85. The cost of the lockdowns are going to be civilizationally altering. Cut 85.
Three major medical associations, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, together declaring a national state of emergency in children's mental health caused by COVID. Parents report grief, anxiety, and depression among children, citing school closures and forced isolation as the primary culprits. Suicide attempts among adolescents are rising sharply, most acutely among 12 to 17-year-old girls, by 51% since the start of the pandemic. Boys are not immune. Child psychologists say it's not uncommon for children to feel intense negative emotions when they're separated from their peers.
So that's actually a really good news report as far as – not good. The news is dreadful. It's terrible. It's good because they're actually telling the truth. But did you notice that the chyron on that screen, Connor? Do you notice what it said? It said pandemic impacting children. No, it's not. Our reaction to the pandemic. The lockdowns have impacted children. And we have conflated those two things. We could have reacted, and we should still react to this entire – craze in a mature way that puts your children first. And it really is a moral question for the West. Why, when it mattered most, did we prioritize the older generation above the younger generation? That is a question that authors, filmmakers, and musicians will wrestle with for the next 20 years, because the impact will be felt almost permanently. Look, everyone out there has been asking me, Charlie, how do I get more pillows? Well, that's MyPillow.com. And MyPillow doesn't have their box stores anymore, so we got to help them out. And part of them being canceled, they want to give you the lowest price yet. So you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow regularly, $69.98. Now only $19.98 with the promo code. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98, and $24.98 with a promo code. Or king size, usually $89.98, only $29.98 with your promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to new beds. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, or call 800-875-0425. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. A lot of you have been emailing us and been asking questions. What's going on with redistricting? What's going on with changing the maps? With us right now, Tyler Boyer, great friend of mine, runs Turning Point USA, Turning Point Action, also is the committeeman for the state of Arizona for the RNC. He's one of the good guys. So before all of you start sending all this hate mail, he's one of the good guys. No, we get a lot of hate mail about the RNC.
Hey, I mean, look, the RNC, God bless them, right? Like, it's just we're working.
We want to try to get it in the right direction. Okay, what's going on with redistricting?
So let's talk about this. So first and foremost, I wanted to take just a few minutes to explain redistricting, the basics, because most people don't understand it. It's crazy. So every 10 years, every state has to redistrict, which means their legislative lines and the congressional lines, the federal lines, they have to redo. And so how it traditionally has worked all throughout history is that the legislature is responsible for doing this. So usually it's the House of Representatives for your state is tasked with basically redrawing the lines, and the Senate approves them or vice versa. And then they basically have to get signed into law by the governor. Now, in about the last 20 years, the left has basically overtaken this entire process by implementing what is called independent redistricting commissions. This is the scary thing. So if your state has an independent redistricting commission, and there's, I think it's like about 10 states that do it right now, it might be about a dozen. Arizona is one of them. California is obviously one of them. The whole West Coast does this. Virginia does it. This is where basically a independent, quote unquote, board or body is established that is not the legislature, which was originally intended by the founders. And these people basically get to draw the lines. And so it actually involves less people in most states, like here in Arizona.
So they take the census data, allegedly. They mix it all up and
take the census data. And so where you have an independent redistricting commission, that commission is appointed. In Arizona, it's five people. There's two Republicans, two Democrats, and one independent. So basically, it comes down to the one independent, one person, one singular individual in the entire state of Arizona decides all the lines for the state of Arizona.
One of the most important states, top three most important states in the country. So let's just – we could take Arizona or nationally. How is this working? Because the map fight is so important if we're serious about not just taking back the House in 2022 if Republicans want to do that. But also for the next decade, this is a decade-long implication. Is that right?
Yeah. So in most states, it stands for 10 years. A couple of states have some weird laws, like Ohio, where if they can't come to an agreement, it only lasts for 4 years and they have to do it all over again. But in most states, it's 10 years and it holds water. And this has major implications, right? Because even if you get good local legislative maps, if congressional maps are bad, think about all the federal money that comes in to run campaigns for Congress. And so how that impacts your local races for mayor, for legislature, for, you know, dog catcher, for crying out loud. If a Democrat has taken over your area, it's a fairly conservative area, but or it's you know, 50-50, it's like around the edge, you know, Democrat money at the federal level can wipe out your entire community. And we've seen this happen time and time again, in particularly like states like Arizona and in the Midwest.
So how is this going nationwide? Are Republicans stepping up to the plate? Are they doing a good job?
So I have some good news and then mostly bad news.
Okay.
So, and some scary news that everybody that's listening needs to hear and take very seriously. The good news is that this was expected to be a Republican wave year, where we were expected to have tons of Republican seats recaptured through redistricting. And we had, ahead of this, tons of Democrats in Congress basically say, I'm out, I'm not rerunning. So I think there's about 26 Democrats who are basically saying, I'm not rerunning for Congress, mainly because they were scared of redistricting. And so once we started going through all this and the census data came back, part of the expectation was that bad states, you know, like for example, Illinois and Michigan in general, California, we're actually going to lose seats, and that good states, you know, kind of in flyover country, we're going to gain seats. And Arizona was expected to be one of those states. And so the expectation was that we were going to lose some bad, more Democrat bad seats and gain more good Republican seats. Well, that didn't happen after the census for whatever reason. Well, I mean, part of it is the Democrat effort on the census data. And right now, eliminated-wise, there was only five eliminated seats. California lost a seat, Illinois lost a seat, Michigan lost a seat, Ohio lost a seat, and West Virginia lost a seat. After the redistricting process, it's expected that three Republicans actually will have lost the seat. Adam Kinzinger is one of those Republicans, and so I don't really count him as a Republican.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's basically three Democrats lost seats. But it was expected that, you know, in the redistricting process, it was hopeful that all those seats would be Democrat seats. There weren't. You know, there's a majority, 3-2 Republicans. In the newly created seats in Colorado, Montana, North Carolina, Oregon, and two in Texas, you know, two of those are Democrat seats. One is like a 50-50 toss-up in Colorado.
Who knows in Colorado?
And so you basically have a split of 3-3. So we didn't really gain anything out of the new seat process, mm-hmm. which that was like the first terrible part of this whole process, is that, you know, Republicans and states, you know, we're expecting Arizona, for example, to gain another seat. And that would have been a Republican, almost assuredly. You know, in Colorado, you can't count Colorado for anything these days. Montana's great. North Carolina's great because we're going to get two seats out of that. But Oregon got a seat, which totally sucks because, you know, Oregon is run by absolute radical mm-hmm. Democrats.
Kate Brown.
And then Texas, you know, you got one Republican, one Dem seat added. So that's a wash.
So how is the map fight going in some of these other states?
So let's go through it real quick. So let's use Florida as the example, because everyone was expecting Florida to be just like roughshod over the Democrats because Ron DeSantis is there.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature runs the show. We have some really great people like Anthony Sabatini who are fighting the good fight in the Florida legislature. But basically, they were expecting these awesome maps to come out of Florida. Most recently, and there's a tweet, I don't know if we're going
to
put it up.
Which one do you want me to put up?
Calvin Coolidge Project.
Oh, okay.
Put up, which was that, and this came out, and those that are tracking this in Florida, the initial draft map from the state Senate that came out is really bad. It's actually not good at all. The expectation in Florida was that they would maximally have 8 or 9 Democrats that would actually make it out of this, and the Democrats were just like almost basically just gave up Florida. They're like, there's no way we're going to make it out of this mm-hmm. clean because, you know, Ron DeSantis is a warrior. And so now, you know, there's been all these other draft maps that have been out there, and you can put these up if you want, and you can post them on Telegram if you want later. But there's been proposals for like where Republicans just basically take over the state of Florida through redistricting, and that hasn't happened through the state Senate. So people are really pissed off in Florida right now,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be basically up to Ron DeSantis whether or not he signs these maps into existence. And that's where the real battle starts to happen. And so a place like Florida, I mean, Arizona, where we have a independent redistricting process, terrible process here. I mean, just real quickly, you know, our maps today are about as bad as they were 10 years ago. And it was viewed 10 years ago as a complete and total redistricting failure. Republicans were like happy here that it was about the same result. I'm not happy because I would have liked to have a governor, you know, here who was running a process, you know, because he's the one that appoints the board, that appoints mm-hmm. the independent redistricting committee, to have a really great, strong Republican map. And that hasn't happened. So basically what we're seeing nationally now out of this, and you can kind of put this up, there's a trending graphic. It's this one right here. Which party is slated to gain seats this decade? Right now,
cut 65. If we can put that up,
where we're trending right now is actually fewer Republicans. So Democrats are actually gaining more seats. So we're actually going backwards in the current process.
Well, and I want to reinforce this though, but this is despite Republican governors, despite Republican state legislatures,
a majority by a lot. Yeah,
that's the graphic right there.
Yep. So we're actually right now trending, which is a huge red flag that Republicans are
actually – That's a confusing graphic. What does that mean? There's a lot of dots.
Well, basically what this is saying is that out of the lean Republican districts that we had before, meaning this last election cycle, which, you know, in some states it's because of growth and urban growth and everything else has been pretty bad, we're actually trending to have fewer lean Republican districts than we had 2 years ago. Now, it's going to be a Republican wave here. So this is where we need to be careful, is that, you know, just because it's a wave year and we win back, you know, some +1, +2 Dem seats, this means that we're slightly Democrat, more Democrat districts, that's not a victory, because over the next 10 years, if we have worse maps than what we had before, we're going to have a overwhelming, predominantly Democrat Congress.
I suppose the question is, why is it that Republican and Republican states are so bad? Are they just afraid of the fight? Are they afraid of being accused of gerrymandering or what?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Democrats have done a lot better job suing state legislatures and over this issue. So basically the fight now is, and there's a tweet that's out. And
from Mark Elias. From Mark Elias. It's funny. We've been covering Elias all show, so it's actually perfect.
Covering Mark Elias. I mean, everybody should be focused on Mark Elias because he's Satan himself. And so, like, with this stuff. And I mean that, like, you know, tongue-in-cheek here, obviously. But he's part of the bad – he's on the bad team, right?
So what does that tweet mean?
And so he is focused – like, his entire job, how he makes money, right, is he goes out and sues – all the redistricting committees and all the legislatures over their maps. And so who's number one on his list? Arizona.
But he sues them under the Civil Rights Act stuff.
That's right.
Right? Under the racial minority
That's
stuff.
Right.
That's his opening.
He takes the angle that the states have done a severe injustice, mostly on racial and ethnic issues. And that's what they're going to try and target. And that's why Arizona and Georgia are number one and number two is they're pretending to represent the Latino voice and the black voice. And that's just not true. They're representing, you know, the elitists on the Democrat yes. Party because they want to control you and they want to control your vote.
What can people do about this?
So the big thing here is right now is because the litigation – now we're way past the redistricting phase. So those of you, God bless you, that have been involved like I have, like other people have in their mm-hmm. states and their home states. Charlie's been really helpful here in Arizona is being focused on the redistricting process and your individual state. Now we're past that. The lines are being drawn and now the Mark Eliases of the world are going to try to sue to change the lines last minute. Meaning they're going to totally try to take advantage of legislators who are scared, you know, local people who are scared, and that's not right. And so what we have to do is we have to support the legislators and say, don't back off, number one, leadership in the legislature. So you're talking about Senate majority leaders, Senate presidents, you're talking about your speakers of the House, and then the governors who have to sign these in states that don't have independent redistricting commissions, the governors that have to sign these in, you have to tell them to veto anything that's bad, right?
Just for everyone remembers, North Carolina had their map sued and a judge overturned their maps. This was like a couple years ago,
yep.
late into the decade,
yep.
under this kind of precedent of racial minority representation. They did this – they tried to do this in Texas unsuccessfully, but part of Biden's trip to Georgia yesterday is laying the groundwork. And this is one of the most important topics, everybody. I know it could be kind of cerebral. You're like, maps, I don't get it. This is the groundwork for how Congress is represented.
Yep.
As many of you know, most of corporate America is going woke, and that includes those companies who are investing your hard-earned retirement money. Well, guess what? I finally found a financial planning and investment firm that supports our values. Pax Financial Group in San Antonio, Texas. Here's the great news. Now you don't have to live in Texas to work with them because San Antonio is a military city. They have clients worldwide. The thing that I like about Pax Financial Group is they have biblical responsible investments. These investments screen out companies that promote abortion, pornography, alcohol, drugs, gambling, and are anti-family or anti-Christian. Look, if you have $150,000 or more in your IRA, 401ks, or other investments, and you want to speak to my friends at Pax, visit PAXFinancialGroup.com. That's PAXFinancialGroup.com. Right now, they want to offer you a free ebook to learn about biblical responsible investing. Grab this ebook right now at PAXFinancialGroup.com. Let's start investing in companies and make everyone's liberty a priority. This is one of those issues where all of a sudden, 6 years from now, you might see a total change in the power in D.C., and you'll remember this conversation. And you'll wish, I wish we would have taken that more seriously. Why didn't we take the maps more seriously? We're here with Tyler Boyer speaking on behalf of Turning Point Action. Also, he's the RNC committeeman for the great state of Arizona. And we only have about 5 minutes to go through this. Tyler, you had some immediate thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, so just to piggyback on the last conversation we were having, I mean, so just to put this into perspective for everyone listening, the redistricting process really started 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So those of you that are like feeling helpless now, you feel helpless because this really was happening 2 to 3 years ago. And the insiders that manage this whole process, like I said, in the state of Arizona, it basically comes down to one person that gets to pick all the maps for the state because that one independent is the deciding vote. And so, you know, in a lot of states that where you're that way, you're going to feel helpless. So we're here to add some positive spin to it, which is how do we not feel helpless? How do we take control?
Yeah, and I want to just kind of show the Democrats are mini celebrating right now. This is Sleepy Eye Chuck Todd from MSNDC talking about, hey, the maps are actually looking pretty good. I just want to reiterate this. They're shocked. They can't believe it. They thought they were going to get clobbered. Cut 90.
Right now, with about half of the 2022 U.S. House district strong, Democrats are in a bit of a better position than they may be expected to be. According to the Cook Political Report's Dave Wasserman, based on what we know so far, there will be a few more Biden 1 districts than there are now.
How is this possible, Tyler? Because I thought if Chuck Todd is surprised about this, they were anticipating getting clobbered in this.
Man, I hate seeing Chuck Todd, and he just ruins your day, doesn't it? Hear his voice. I miss Rush's PMSNBC. Like I prefer that over DNC. But here's the reason why they're celebrating. They're mini celebrating early right now because it's not over, because a lot of these governors have to approve the maps in the Republican states. And so things could shift and swing a little bit. But they're excited because basically there was never an anticipation that redistricting was going to be a wash. And it's guys, I'm telling you right now, that's what's happened here. And this is an Eric Holder 4-6 year plan that's into place. So now what do you do? What do you look at? Well, now what you do and what we can do is we can put as much political pressure as we possibly can on every governor in these states that's going to be signing these maps into existence. And you have to tell them that they cannot sign a bad map in. So in Florida right now, I'm telling you, in Florida, Ron DeSantis may be our only hope in pushing back. And the legal battles, again, against the Mark Eliases of the world who are going to try to sue legislators, who are going to try to intimidate legislators in their hometowns. Everybody here is going to have to bolster up good conservatives. And this is why you need good conservatives at the legislative level. This is why you have to have good governors. It's not enough to win Republican governors.
Well, and I just want to reiterate this point really quick, which is that they are misapplying the Civil Rights Act to try and change
Let's
these
talk
maps.
About it. Yeah.
And we need to get into the courts as well. We need to countersue. We need to show them that they're the ones that are demagoguing this in racial terms. And just so everyone's clear, in 2010, when Republicans took back the House, the maps that were drawn going into the 10, into the 12 cycle, because it happens the year after, some Republicans were unafraid back in 10 to do this.
Yeah.
We seem super gun-shy for whatever reason to draw maps.
So here's how racist the Democrats are, and I'll tell you exactly how racist Mark Elias is and, you know, the groups that are kind of – they're actually trying to prevent in a lot of these states these – what they call majority-minority districts. So part of the process – and this is for everybody that's listening – the process when they're actually devising these maps out, they look first for the definition of majority-minority, which means that you have a majority of the population as a minority community, and that's a community of interest. And so in Georgia,
super important.
Those are that's the black community. In Arizona, it's the Hispanic community or Native American communities.
In California, parts are Asian.
And so there's actual Democrats right now trying to avoid that. Why? Because if you put all Democrats into one district really close, then that means
that's
that
exactly right.
All
it
the
would be
Republicans
a D+35 district, or whatever.
And then all the Republicans win all the other districts, and then they lose Congress. And so you actually, I've seen this. I've seen Democrats now fighting against my majority minority districts, and this is why it's so easy for Republicans right now in states like Florida, Georgia, Arizona, is to make the argument and say, look, and truly, that process is good. You want to have communities of interest well represented for Congress. People should have their community represented. And for us, as conservatives, we can push for that right now. And then also at the same time have really Republican states.
There's so much more to get into this, but it's still unfolding. TPAction.com. You guys can become a precinct chair and you guys can get involved in this. But this is something we're going to be covering in great detail, because this is one of those issues that's happening below the surface that all of a sudden, if we don't win as many seats as you think we should win in November, it might be because we decided not to fight on the maps. TPAction.com. Thank you, Tyler, for joining us. We're going to keep on covering it. It's really important. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.